Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there, where we walk by faith and not by sight to the purpose, the call, the destiny, and the will of God in our lives. As we grow in the grace of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are changed line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory, height to height, and depth to depth, into all that God has required of us and God has imparted into us. In this 15-minute empowerment, this segment will give you instructions, it will give you truth, it will give you answers, it will empower and encourage you to continue your walk of faith and to do it for the glory of God. For we are to live in this earth knowing that as we bring glory to God, we also allowing ourselves to receive an eternal reward that is greater than anything that we face or see in this present life. Today we're going to be looking at briefly at John 16 and 33, and this is talking about our overcoming faith. This is talking about what Jesus has overcome and what we overcome, but also the encouragement when we face trials and tribulations, how we're to go through them, and the heart and the mindset that we're supposed to have when we're facing different things, diverse temptations, when we're facing trials. John 16 and 33 says this, and this is Jesus talking here. He says, I have told you all this so that you will have peace of heart and mind. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. Your interpretation or your Bible might say tribulations, but cheer up. It might say, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And when we look at this, when we read this and we understand, sometimes we read it not understanding the victory that Jesus has. We understand that we have victory in him, that we are saved and we are redeemed, but he gave us victory. He is the champion, and he's very triumphant, and we need to see that as him being the chief commander, the champion of our life. And the same victory that he has and has purchased for us, we now walk in, and as we walk in it by faith, we understand that when we go through things, it's going to work out for our good. We have, even in trials and tribulations, when it talks about that, it talks about the trials, tribulation, talks about pressure, affliction, and distress, all of these things that we're going to face in this life. But Jesus tells us to be of good cheer, be confident, be courageous, knowing that he has already given us the victory, knowing that as we trust in him, we have peace in the midst of every pressure, in the midst of every circumstance, knowing that he's already won the battle for us and we're coming out on top. We understand that we have faith that overcomes the world. We have been given faith that overcomes the world, overcomes every tribulation, every trial, all afflictions, all distresses, all pressure. We have faith that's been given to us in Jesus Christ that overcomes the world, a new nature. So when we go through things, it's not like our old nature. It's not like what the world goes through. It's not even how the world goes through. We are children of God. We've been regenerated. We've been redeemed, which means that we have a spiritual rebirth. And this gives us and provides for us victory over the world, over the circumstances of the world, over the situations of the world. The things that try and would oppress us, God doesn't allow it to overtake us because we have victory in the finished work of Jesus Christ. The world opposes Jesus and everything associated with him. They don't want to know about him. They don't want to live for him or love him. There will be some that will be saved and delivered and set free, but all will not. So the world hate the image, the life, the idea of Jesus or God. So he's given us faith that overcomes the world. And this is the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, that his crucified, his when he was crucified, when he rose, he got up with all power in his hand. He got up reigning over the things that would try to reign over us. He got up with power because he died for us. The one who overcomes the world is the one who obeys God rather than the world. And the expectations of when we overcome because our expectations are not of the world. They're not the same as the world. Our expectations are in everything that Jesus and God have already done. Our expectations say that we will love God, and because we love God, we will follow him and obediently trust God. And we will not allow the pressures of the world to burden us down. We find obedience, in our obedience, we find pleasure in obeying God, and this is not burdensome to us. When we obey God, it's not burdensome. It is not something that is hard because we love God. So to obey him and to love him, that's a pleasure for us because we're pleasing him as Jesus pleased the Father. We are now pleasing him. In Philippians 1, verses 23-30, lets us understand that this struggle and the sacrifices of being connected with Christ, what we have to do and how we have to go through it. We're to let our conduct be that which is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're to have, now that we know him and we're serving him, we now have a responsibility that is associated with our citizenship of heaven, that we're not to act like the world when we face trials and tribulations. We're not to even respond like them. We are to have faith. We know that we're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony in him. A faith that says he's already overcome and we are overcome. He's in us and we're in him. And because of what he's already triumphed over, because he's already went into hell and he spoiled principalities and powers, made an open show of them, went into the devil's kingdom and basically defeated him on his own turf in front of his own kingdom, and now has the keys and led out the people who were the victims of the enemy, but now overcomers through Jesus Christ that he's given good gifts to, and he's anointed for his purpose and his plan. Now, because we understand that, we live knowing that we have overcome too. We live knowing that we are citizens of not of this world, but of a heavenly kingdom, and our conduct should reveal God's heavenly citizenship. So when we're going through, we understand the way that we're supposed to go through, that we're to stand together as a church body, as a family, firmly, not in isolation. The enemy wants to isolate us, but we're to stand firmly in knowing that we are one in God and we're one together, and that this our spirit and our mind are united in one common goal, to please God, that he might get glory, that he is seen. We're striving together and working together as a team. And it doesn't matter that we're in different locations. Our common goal is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our common goal is that he will be glorified in our life. So when we're working together as a team, God never intended for the believer to be alone. That's why he sent the Comforter. But he sent the Comforter to give to fill us, to be in us, to be a very present help, but he also gave us sisters and brothers in the body. We're working together. We're the boards and the bars of the tabernacle that is spoken of. We're linked together as one because there's one baptism, there's one faith, there's one Lord, and because of that, we are joined together through the blood of Jesus Christ. When we get together in church settings, when we get together, we basically encourage and strengthen one another and our common faith with this Christianity. We're striving together. When we're striving together, we're doing it in love and in confidence, and we know that the message of Jesus Christ is true. We understand and know that the message that we stand on, we hope in, that we rehearse, that we believe, that we have faith in, is the message of Jesus Christ, and it is true. And when we face sufferings, when we go through things, we understand that the suffering that we go through, even that is a gift from God, because in the midst of it, God comforts us, and then he encourages us, and he causes us to rejoice in the thing that should have destroyed us. He causes us to rejoice in the thing that should have taken us out. He causes us to triumph. He causes us to win and to have joy in it. Suffering brings eternal rewards. So we're not just going through something for naught. It brings eternal rewards. When he uses suffering as a tool for us, as a way of getting what he wants and wills to be accomplished in us, he does that so that he can see fruit, so he can see something happening in the spirit realm. And God did this with his son, and he does it with us. Suffering matures us as Christians. In this present tense, it matures us, and it enables us to glorify God in the future. That's what our suffering does. Christ himself is our peace. When we understand that he's our peace, that even when we're going through things that are difficult and hard, and I know it can be very, very hard, Christ himself comes in, and he's our peace. He's the peace that passes all understanding, and we're in him. He gives us the strength to go through it and endure it, and we are acceptable in Christ Jesus we're acceptable to him. And because of that, he's not going to allow anything to break us to the point that we cannot recover. He's not going to do that. He's not that kind of God. The same way that he broke down the walls of separation and made us accept, the same way he's not going to allow anything else to be built up to destroy us. We understand that. And when we look at 2 Timothy 3:12, we know that our desire here on this earth is to live godly. Our desire is to live godly. And because our desire is to live godly, we're going to suffer persecution. Jesus lets us know that because they hated him, they're going to hate us. And this persecution sometimes will mean that it is almost like we're being hunted for the sake of Christ. The enemy will target us for the sake of Jesus. He will go after us for the sake of Jesus. But we're not to be discouraged. We're to be encouraged, knowing that as we suffer with him, we're going to reign with him. God has never, ever promised to deliver us from persecution, but he promised to deliver us through persecution. So as we're going through persecution, God is going to deliver us. And as we go through it, we're maturing, we're growing. As we go through it, we're building an eternal reward. As we're going through it, we're building an overcoming testimony in our God person when we go through persecution. He developed us so that we have the capacity to reign with him in his kingdom. The last scripture I'm going to give you is Romans 8:37, and this deals with persecution and facing trials. It lets us know, and the word says, but in all of this, and on all of these things, it means in all that we face and all that we suffer, all that we're hit with, all that we endure, we are still more than conquerors through him that loves us. That means even though we're facing some things, we're still more than conquerors. The trials and the difficulties that are listed in Romans 8:35 that speaks about the things that will try to come and separate us from the love of Jesus Christ, these things cannot separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. They cannot separate us. But in the midst of what the enemy thinks will separate us, because he thinks if he hits us hard enough, it's going to separate us. In the midst of this, we understand and we find out that we are more than conquerors. And this place is forcing us to depend even more on God. The things that have come to try to separate us won't separate us, because our relationship is more than just stuff. Our relationship is an eternal worship of intimacy, of pleasing God, of bringing him glory, of loving him as he loves us. And his love is absolute. There's nothing that can separate us from God's love. We are certain of that. We are certain of the love of God because he sent his son. We're certain of that because we're saved and redeemed. We're certain of that because we have eternal life. We're certain of that because he paid the price for us. Nothing hard or dangerous can separate us. Death nor life can separate us. If God, who is the uncreated one, no one created God, he's the self-existing one. He is the self-existing one who created everything. If God, who has created everything, seen and unseen, is the one who has called us to be and given us victory through his son, he will not allow anything that is created, any weapon that is created, any enemy that is created, to separate us from him. So he's never going to allow the place of suffering or affliction or persecution to destroy us to the point that we cannot give him praise. There will be things that we suffer, things that we see, things that will not be that be fair as we look at it through natural eyes. But when we look at it spirit realm and we look at it through the mindset of God, this is causing us to reign with you. This is causing us to have eternal reward. This is causing us to grow and mature. Then what we do, we take glory in that. As Paul says, I glory in tribulations, because how you're looking at it is different. You're not looking at it in a way that looks like God is picking on you, but if you're looking at it a way that I'm growing and maturing, I'm knowing more about my God. I'm drawing nigh to him. I'm seeing his demonstration. I'm building an eternal reward. God is grooming me to reign with him, and I will be all that he says. I will have all that he says. There is nothing that can separate me, because his love for me is absolute, and he holds me up in his righteousness. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me for Favor Life. I pray that you've been blessed and encouraged, and that you see suffering and persecution as another, and then another life. God bless you, and we'll see you again tomorrow for another day of Favor Life. God bless.